Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1 through 23, anticipating God's sure judgment of Babylon's wicked king. Isaiah 13, 1 to 14, 23 offers multiple predictions that address, on the one hand, God's judgment on local Babylon and its king in Isaiah's era, and on the other hand, his future judgment on a world system of evil under Satan. The reason for this interplay of predictions of near and distant judgments, as we learn in the book of Revelation, is that the evil that began in the local city of Babylon, which is now destroyed, continues to expand in a worldwide system under Satan. And that system must be judged in the future Great Tribulation period, according to Revelation chapters 17 and 18. So following the Isaiah 13, 1 to 22 prophecies that we studied last week, Isaiah 14, 1 to 23 predicts God's judgment on the local city of Babylon's evil king, as well as his judgment on Satan, who is behind that human king of Babylon. So we thus view the passage for encouragement that as God judged the human king, he will judge Satan. You and I don't face the king of Babylon today. He's long gone. He's in the grave. We do face the one who is behind him. We face Satan. He's a vicious, cruel foe. And in preparing this message today, I was under one royal angelic conflict attack, both the day before and then today, and finally realized what in the world was going on, left it with the Lord. But Satan doesn't like information about him to be revealed at all. But anyway, here we go. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, God promised Israel that though she would be taken captive by Babylon, he will yet restore her to the land of Israel, with her people being helped by Gentiles to return to the land where they will in turn function as servants of Israel, and that Israel's people will rule over those who were once her captors. Let me read those verses, 14, 1 to 3. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose or favor Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord his first servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. Then, when God will have given Israel this rest after her captivity, she will take up a taunt against the king of Babylon, a taunt that was recorded in Isaiah 14, 4b to 21. You and I don't live in a culture where taunting is something that is looked upon in a favorable sense. But in the ancient Near East, if you defeated an enemy in war, the typical action was to taunt the enemy who was taken captive. And that was something that was a relief to you because of the anxiety that you had faced in the past with this enemy. So you have to understand this is a typical practice in the ancient Near East, and God utilized it at the time for the people. And since this king was a very wicked king, it also shows the Lord's work. Now, what's interesting, he's going to shift out of taunting the local king suddenly to shift taunt Satan and Satan's destruction. A lot of scholars don't think that this passage is talking about Satan. Dr. Dwight Pentecost, Dr. Charles Ryrie, both of my profs at Dallas Seminary, plus the Wycliffe Bible Commentary, which is seen as a very reputable conservative commentary, all say yes, he is, because there are some statements that are made by Lucifer there in verses 12 and 13 that could only have been made by Satan, by no local king. And what's happened is in chapter 13, you have an interplay between the local city of Babylon and Babylon the Great as a system. Now you have an interplay between the local king and the great king who's behind him, which is Satan. So it fits that you would have Satan involved here in this passage, so everything works, and we'll deal with that accordingly. First of all, when God will have given Israel this rest after her captivity, she will take up a taunt against the king of Babylon, a taunt that is recorded in verses 4b through 21. Now, Isaiah 14, 4b to 11 describes the fall of the human king of the local city of Babylon. Let me read those verses. Verses 4b to 11. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how has the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased, The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hinders. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, Since thou art laid down, no feller or woodchoppers come up against us. Hades from beneath is moved to thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we are? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy harps, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Okay, what's going on here? Isaiah 14, verses 4 through 8, describes the relief of the world's nations over the destruction of Babylon's evil, cruel king who had ruled them with unrelenting persecution. The whole earth is at rest and quiet, with even the cypresses rejoicing along with the cedars of Lebanon, since no woodcutter comes up against them to chop them down. Apparently, the king of Babylon, when he came into the land, he wanted to build catapult engines and so forth, so they would chop down these huge trees to make these great big catapults, and then also to build ramparts to come up over the city wall so that they could take the city wall. Well, in that day, after the king is judged, no one's going to be chopping the wood down because he's dead. That's very interesting. Then, Sheol. Sheol is the place of the departed unsaved dead. Sheol beneath, the place where the souls of the departed dead go, will be roused to greet the king of Babylon as he descends to dwell among them. And these dead kings will taunt the king of Babylon, declaring that he has become as weak as they are in death. See, these kings at one time had feared the king of Babylon, but they're dead. So when the king of Babylon joins them in Hades, they're going to taunt him there because you're not so big and mighty now, are you? And it's true because he doesn't have an army with him. He's weak. He's just like any other man. It's interesting, the great white throne judgment, when people stand before Jesus, the Bible says, and the dead stood before the throne, the great and the small, big men and not so big men. And I think of some of the greatest leaders that have ever existed in history, they're going to stand there and they're going to give an account to Christ. The little guy is going to give an account to everybody who doesn't know Christ. So it's amazing that this day is coming. Well, in place of his former pomp that was accompanied with the sound of harps, the dead king will be brought down and laid on a bed that is covered with worms that devour his decaying body. Very picturesque in verse 11 there. And you can understand in the ancient Near East, taunting the king, this is a king who at one time had terrorized you and caused you great anguish, and now he's rotting in the grave. And so there's this release. That's what this taunt is all about. However, in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 20, the king is abruptly called Lucifer. The Greek, the Hebrew word, rather, is Hallel, which means the bright one that soon disappears with the light of the rising sun. Apparently, this was the morning star that disappeared when the sun rose. And since the words he speaks in Isaiah 14, 13 to 14 are out of place on any lips but Satan's, we hold this section refers to Satan as the power behind the king's throne in Babylon. Let me read that, verses 14 through 20. 12, verses 12 through 20. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There are five I wills here of Satan. It's interesting, and it's also interesting to note that in witchcraft, you also have five-point stars. There are often things that come in fives, and it may be that they fit this the fivefold I wills of Satan. And we'll look at the I wills in a little bit. Verse 15, Yet thou shalt be brought down to Hades, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider, saying, Is this the man that made the earth tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with thee in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and hast slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. It's amazing. Satan's great pride was expressed in wanting to supplant God, and there are five I wills in verses 13 and 14. First of all, he tried to usurp his heavenly throne. In verse 13a, where he says, I will ascend up into heaven. That's the first thing that Satan wanted to do. And he's still trying to do it. He's still trying to supplant God. The second thing Satan did was he tried to usurp God's rule over the angels. The last part of verse 13, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God are often seen as the angels of God. And then the third thing he tried to do was to administrate his universe. And where he says, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. He tried to administrate his years. In fact, Satan's trying to do that. He's trying to rule the world. He's trying to create a one world order. Also, he wanted to make God's glory his own. First part of verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And finally, last part of verse 14, he wanted to imitate God in every way. I will be like the Most High. Satan is trying to do that. In fact, the Bible says Satan appears as an angel of light often today. And Satan loves to get in the pulpit in the form of a false minister. You got to watch it. Now, the ignominious downfall of the tyrant of Babylon, prophetically pictured here, whose corpse lies unburied and dishonored, reflects upon Satan, his lord. I'm Prof. Dallas Seminary. Also, he was our pastor, the pastor of my wife and me when we were in Dallas, Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost. He has an excellent book, Your Adversary, the Devil. It's in our church library, and I would highly recommend it on this. Well, returning briefly to the theme of the fall of the city of Babylon, God predicted in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 22 to 23, especially in the English Standard Version, that he would cut off its reputation in its name, its remnant, its descendants, its posterity, making it a possession of the hedgehog and pools of water, the Lord having figuratively swept the city with a broom of destruction. Prepare slaughter, verse 21, for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name, the remnant, and son, nephew, saith the Lord. And I will also make it a possession for the bitter, and that's the hedgehog, and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. If you go to the city of Babylon today, you can see there are places where there are buildings that are built on top of one another in brick forms, very ornate brick forms and everything, and yet it's out in the middle of the desert. It's a waste place. There are wild little animals that flock in there, and it's incredible how this prophecy has come true and is true to this day. So as the earthly king of the local city of Babylon would be brought down from the great pride and pomp of the grave to dishonor God's people of Israel, would instead be liberated from Babylonian bondage and rule over their former captors. So God's people will be exalted in victory as Satan is brought down to the end time. In other words, we can look at this prophecy and say, wow, has God ever fulfilled what he planned to do with the king of Babylon? Well, he's also going to do that with Satan. Satan is a defeated foe. There are just a few skirmishes that are left, and God wants us to have victory over the skirmishes. But he will eventually be cast into the lake of fire forever. So taking encouragement from noting the reality of the now past fall of the human tyrant of the city of Babylon, may we realize that God will one day similarly judge Satan, who was behind Babylon and is now behind the world's wicked, ever-developing and expanding world system. And God will give us the ultimate victory over Satan and the evil world. So encouraged, may we stay faithful to the Lord in performing his assigned will for us. There's a verse, I think it's in the book of James somewhere, that says, resist the devil, strong in the faith. In fact, if you do that, he flees from you. if you're not strong in the faith, you're weak in faith, weak in trust in the Lord, he can really get the victory over us. But we need to be strong, trusting God's word. And if we're strong and trusting in his word, then we will have the victory. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to have the victory over Satan.